And the smell of bratwurst floating through the air.
Okie dokie, my voice is a bit croaky, but here we go with another episode of the Four Man Waller podcast on Australian football / soccer at its finest. I'm your host, Deshaun. Unfortunately, the Melbourne City mega fan is a little bit too emotional over the future loss of J-Mac and Curtis Good, so Andy will not be joining us today. The second voice you're going to hear is that of a man who is a total eshe on X, his player or scopes. Here he is, Damon Serra.
I totally refute that. I am not an eshe. I have just got good fashion taste. So, yeah.
I know, that hat made you look like a bit of an eshe. There it is. Love it. You beauty. And last but not least, he is Perth's favourite son. It's Nicholas.
Oh, thank you, Deshaun. And you're, of course, referring to the fact that I've just returned from Perth and I have been there the last few days. Yeah. It was a good trip. Highlight would be the Quokkas. And followed closely by my visit to Macedonia Park,
mate.
The home ground of Zadball in its prime last season,
and certainly not in its prime these days.
It was a smooth flight over because I had the great company of you lads, in the form of a Four Man Wall podcast episode from last week downloaded on my phone, and It was fantastic. I took some notes on the episode, lads.
He's just going for it. Hell yeah. All right.
I've got some notes. I've taken notes. These are notes.
Oh, I can see the notes. Those are notes. Yes.
I just want to say,
quite a considerable amount.
Yeah, Damo, you started off the episode strong. I like that you had some good Kiwi accents off the cuff, you know. I know you're an accent kind of guy, and, you know, you fucking took it and run with it. Love that.
Nailed it.
Love that from you. And I don't know what this note means, but I just wrote, I'm flattered that you think I run the simulations. Not too sure what simulations. I can't remember. I have been pretty busy since I listened to the podcast. Some technical feedback. I think the mix on Split the Wall intro is too high. It does break your headphones a bit.
Does it?
I thought the plane was about to fall out of the sky when I heard it. I will say you were a very good adjudicator on Split the Wall for a change on this episode. you Damo kept going for second dips, and you were like, nah, you've done your allotted time here. Give it over to Andy. And I've got here a note for I can't remember what part of the podcast this was, but it just simply says, Andy, get your head out of your ass. No way is Arsenal going to do shit. Can't remember what the context was in the episode. I thought I'd remember by the time I read them out loud, but that is what I wrote. And I want to say to Damo, lay off the love for meat pies. Meat pies aren't even that good.
Ooh, okay. Jesus, mate. That's a bit harsh. Do you think it's a bit harsh?
I think that's a bit harsh.
Sausage rolls are better.
Meat pies are perfectly rated.
Sausage rolls are better.
They're not. They're just not. I didn't just have a mince. There's no mince pies. They were venison or steak and cheese or just steak and goodness.
Goodness.
With a sausage roll, you can only have sausage. So, I think the pies overall.
Oh, that's all you got. You just got sausage, mate. I mean, like, I've seen sausage rolls that have come with, like, rolls that come with, like, spinach and ricotta. That's a thing, right?
Yeah, but that's not a sausage roll.
The spinach and ricotta roll.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
see, Nick? Yeah. Thank you. He's proving my point even more.
Yeah.
I like that.
Sausage rolls better because the pastry's closer to the meat, you know? There's no... So if you get the pastry good, it's higher reward, you know?
Yeah. No, I can't agree with you on that one.
Bloody hell, fellas.
Meat pies, steak and cheese, steak pies, venison pies, clear.
Venison, you reckon? Venison pies?
In New Zealand?
Wow.
Venison is large. So, yeah. Extremely good cut of meat.
Yeah, right, okay.
It is a bit dear, though.
Yeah. No! No! You absolute fiend! Can't be doing that to us, fella. Oh, mate, okay. We've started off very strong. Okay, I'll adjust the mix of this clickable intro. Thank you for the feedback. We live off feedback. If you guys want to give us feedback, just www.onlinehomedia.com. You can check out all of our content there.
You can roast us or you can give us good...
At fourman.wall.
At fourman.wall or the Instagrams there. And at onlinehomedia as well. We're so close to 500 followers now. I just need the 500. Guys, for my sanity, get me to 500. I love you all.
I don't even know 500 people.
Yeah, you do. Surely you do. Okay. It doesn't matter. Regardless, we got lots to talk about.
Just
today.
You four lads, and I'm good.
End of the season. We're not quite at the full wall, but we're going to crack in with a little season review, talk about all the games. We're going to split the wall later on, as I've already mentioned. But first things first, Nick, tell us about your Perth trip. What did you do? Who'd you see? What happened?
Well, Gonna break the no sharing rule here. I went for the football, the AFL. Watched the Bulldogs just be mediocre at best. And it was good. We went out exploring. We went to Frio. Went to the Swan Valley region. It was nice. You know, went to some gin distilleries. Went to a tavern for lunch. And like, you got fish and chips, right? And the fish and chips was really big, like bigger than my head, you know. It's pretty good, actually. What else we do, you know. Went to Freo, got a little Creatures Brewery there. There's another brewery equally as good on the waterfront. You see the docks, you see the ships. Went to Busselton, longest timber pier jetty in the Southern Hemisphere, second in the world, 1.8 kilometres long. And you go there and you have, it's 2.5 hours out of Perth, and it has a underwater aquarium in the ocean.
You can see
the fish. No bullshit. You can see that, like, it's, you can see the fish coming up to feed on the coral on the piers. It goes 9 meters deep to the seabed. Had some fucking grouse, fish and chips, but
fucking grouse, lad.
What else? I went to Rottnest Island. See the quokkas. Quokkas. Exceptional, mate. They do cock and they do
All right, yep. Fucking good stuff.
Yeah. And Perth, third best city in Australia behind Sydney and Melbourne. So
Sydney's all right. Okay.
Sydney is only so good because it has like the population to support it, you know, like
has a lot of things
to do. Not as much as Melbourne. I mean, maybe on a activity per population basis, Perth would be higher than Sydney, but
interesting. Okay. So it sounds like you had a really fun time overall. Yeah. And you enjoyed
the weather.
Did you go?
It was perfect. 25 degrees every day, sun, no rain.
All right, fair fucks. And you went to Macedonia Park. Did you try the famous gyros?
Well, I would have loved to, but there was a game on, and I had to go to a cuddly animal farm to meet the goats. Meet the goats. I met LA Rose in the flesh. I took my photo with the goat.
With the goat of football.
LA Rose. He resides in the Perth Swan Valley Cuddly Animal Farm. He's a goat.
Yeah, right. Fucking hell. Okay, fair.
Not
fair,
to be dude. Too nitpicky here, but if you're at Macedonia Park, would you not be getting a kebabby?
I wasn't able to venture in because there was a game on, and I was too scared I was too scared to pay $10 for a ticket when we. I promised it was only going to be a 2-minute stop. But I would have.
$10 ain't that bad.
Would have loved to get some scran, but would have stayed all day if I could.
Look, at the end of the day, Nick, you just You got to risk it to get the biscuit sometimes. If that means paying $10 to have access to the kebabi, I reckon that's worth it, honestly.
What I will say about Macedonia Park is it's literally in some random street.
Yeah, right.
That's all just, I got from that.
Yeah, just out of just nowhere. Yeah, right, okay.
I think maybe it has. Maybe it's on the main road on the other side. But
it's actually quite a good effort that so many people actually rocked up to some Perth Glory games, considering.
Maybe it has like a better way to access it than we did, but that's what Google Maps took us to.
Yeah.
And that's where the car park was.
It looked, it just looked like a random street, judging by the photo you showed us, I should say.
It was like a little street, yeah.
Fair dues, but here we are. We're back, we're chatting football, and football was indeed to be had. Let me just whip up the games real quick. Obviously, there's one more game to be played tonight. That'll happen in approximately 2 and a bit hours. Central Coast play Adelaide, finally, because they're in the country. They're not in Kyrgyzstan or wherever it was.
Kyrgyzstan, yeah. I mean, they've been back for a while now, but yes, correct.
Yes, so they can play their game, which is very exciting. But the games that were indeed played, we had Adelaide United beat Brisbane 4-3. Central Coast beat the Jets 3-1 to get that... is it the stick of concrete for the men's or is it the piece of railroad? It's the piece of road. Piece of road,
isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, up top for the Mariners. We love it. The Knicks beat Macarthur 3-0 to stake their claim to the title. Wanderers beat Melbourne Victory 4-3 in an absolute drama fest of a match to keep their finals hopes alive. Sydney FC sent Perth Glory to the cleaners 7-1. And then Melbourne killed the dreams of Western Sydney by beating Western United 1-0. So I'll start with you, Damo. Pick a game. Talk to me about the game. Break it all down.
I'd like to talk about the Western Sydney Wanderers game. I think that was an absolute bloody classic.
A cracker?
Absolute cracker.
A cracker or a quokka?
A quokka.
Mm.
It's an absolute cracker.
Okay, all right.
But certainly this game showed that, there was a bit of meaning behind it. The Wanderers players in particular. Obviously, Melbourne Victory weren't really playing for too much. Obviously, their position on the ladder couldn't really change.
Mm.
And obviously, they would have liked to have played themselves into form. But I think the Wanderers trying to get that last, or trying to at least put pressure on City for that last place, they certainly gave a good account of themselves during that match. And it's really unfortunate that Western United are absolutely horrible. City got the W, obviously. So,
Jesus, mate.
It is what it is, and unfortunately, I would have liked to have seen from a Australian football point of view. I would have liked to have seen Western Sydney get in over Melbourne City. Purely because of their just the way that they've gone about their squad selections this season, which has annoyed me quite a bit.
So, on the flip side, have a Melbourne Derby final,
absolutely top billing, right?
You know, you got to think from a commercial side of things, it's going to be huge on Sunday evening.
Well, you'd want to hope so because, I'll say it like. Just the way that Melbourne City is transitioned from what the type of club they wanted to be last season, bringing in young talents and providing them a pathway into senior football, and the way they've transitioned to this year, it just seems weird to me. And absolutely, it's great for TV numbers this coming weekend, but at the end of the day, really. Don't know what Melbourne City kind of get out of playing these type of old players.
I just counter on that point. Like, wouldn't you argue that, like, the fact that, you know, Melbourne City have had to kind of, like, fall back a bit on all the players this season, as little as they do give back, like, would be an argument the success of their youth campaign in previous seasons? Like, a testament to the fact that they were able to develop youth talent and export them quite abruptly. Wouldn't you suggest that you know, if they have to go one season with an older lineup, hoping it's just one, that, you know, it's probably a testament to how successfully the ship ran the last few years, and that, you know, they just have to get their bearings again before they can, you know, blood the youth.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Four-man wall. We reached good points.
All right, done. Podcast over. Thanks for joining in, Phil. But no, I guess obviously, Damo, you are the guy who is always like promoting play your young guys, and obviously,
oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Redan has done that. Oscar Priestman scored twice, I think, in that game. He's a young lad. Aiden Hammond scored his first goal in the league. He's a young lad too. Who else? Yeah. Who else scored?
Sure as hell Milanovic and Brook. Pretty much. All the players that scored under 23, obviously Marco Rudan, as we mentioned last week, he's tried to kind of put his stamp on the youth academy, and I think this week you definitely saw that coming into a bit of fruition.
Is that going to pay dividends long term, you reckon? Or
you'd want to hope so.
Yeah, right.
Because unfortunately, whatever they've done in the last 7 seasons since they've been semi-successful hasn't really helped. So maybe having these kids that have come through the system that really want to play for the club, like you saw Marcus Yunus almost crying that he scored, just showing how much scoring for his boyhood club means, can only be a good thing, hopefully, long-term for the Mariners, the Wanderers.
The Mariners!
It could have been sort of a slip of the tongue, but it's actually kind of true, though.
Some of the trajectories.
Well, we've seen a lot of Western Sydney exports to Central Coast, so... Sort of a slip of the tongue, but also kind of true in a way. But, yeah, hopefully it is good for the Wanderers in the long run.
Fingers crossed. But, yeah, no finals this season for a team that... I think I predicted them to win the premiership at the start of the year. High expectations. Obviously, Borrello being out pretty much all season didn't help. Marcus Anderson proved to be a bit shit.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. And guys like Hendricks and Sonny Kittle and these guys didn't really impress as much as perhaps we thought they would. So just, not a great season for Western Sydney.
Yeah, absolutely. And just, again, it shows that these young guys that want to play certainly have more impact than some semi-decent imports from Europe.
Yeah,
Miloš Stinković, he's certainly the exception to that point.
He's
got a very good, very good resume behind him. So you always knew that he was going to be sort of successful when he went to Sydney FC. So, but these other guys that have come in that from like second tier competitions. It's like, come on, surely someone from the local game can kind of do a job there instead.
Right. And we're getting to that point, in theory. Hopefully. Slowly but surely. Nick, is there a specific game that you want to touch on?
I'll be honest, I did not watch a single game this week.
Well, pick a story, pick a narrative and talk about that, right?
Oh, narrative. What I'll say... slightly iconic that Jamie McLaren, the most tappiest of tappies sent Melbourne City through.
Yeah.
But I guess the narrative is a bit of a footnote. Is Perth Glory's getting battered
again?
Second time in the last 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And I think. And, you know, just talk about whether I think Starge is all but out. Starge is all but out, probably by mutual consent. And
it's not looking great.
Yeah, sorry?
It's not looking great. Like, 8-0, okay, outlier, sure. But then to lose 7-1.
I think they also had a few other... And then they lost to, like, Western United. They've been losing to Western United and Adelaide United at home too. 4-2 loss, 4-2 loss at home to Adelaide United, and a 4-3 loss at home to Western United.
Mm.
Right, and just 5 games prior, Perth Glory held Sydney FC to a 1-1 draw at a HBF Park. I think that's what it's called, HBF Park in Perth.
Sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Perth Glory finished their season not having a win since 17th of Feb, where they bet Zadkovic at home.
Ah, Zad.
Yes.
The big Zad man.
So, yeah, it's definitely consigned to the wooden spoon in the most emphatic fashion. It did look like they were promising for a bit, but really quite a disappointing ending like that. I know like there was not much to play for from their perspective, but I think that speaks volumes of where the current mentality of the players might be.
Well, Stadic mentioned that a lot of it could come down to mentality, and like obviously with the new ownership and with their bloated squad, they haven't been able to really sell or sign players. And a lot of it, you know, players have been unsure of like, are we going to be here next season? Are we going to be playing for this team next season? Et cetera, which would play on your mind a little bit.
Oh,
but it's still pretty embarrassing.
So you just got to hope that like with the new owners, they can just, you know, breathe some calm in the off season.
Yeah, calm goes a long way. It does. It really does. And hopefully they can find some consistency and some stability. And like there are some decent young players there. Like there are some decent guys.
I think obviously, as I said before, with some of these imports, but they actually did miss Beavers, I think, quite a bit. Obviously, with Beavers going out, Majika Dunmi came in. They had a pretty unstable back line. But, yeah, I think throwing in the youngsters in the deep end was, yeah, obviously a very harsh move for them, but something that they had to do out of necessity, really. So I think that sort of, wasn't ideal in the circumstances. And I think these big wins against them have, certainly played a bit of a part.
It'll destroy your mentality. Like
Exactly. While, and you know, once that keeps on happening, it's like, oh, geez. You know, it's hard to really bounce back from those types of losses. So, but credit to them. They have scored. They have been scoring quite freely.
Adam Taggart, golden
boot. The game plan's certainly there in an attacking sense. It's just the defensive side of the side that needs some... some pretty hefty work done, so.
Yeah.
Is Adam Taggart confirmed for the golden boot?
Yep. Yeah. Unless Ibasuki scores 7 goals tonight or...
Yeah, because old mate Torres ain't playing, that's for sure.
Yep, that's certainly for sure. And, So Taggart basically has won the golden boot, which is an incredible effort.
And Kolakowski's looked good as well. I think over moments this season and
absolutely. Benny. And that's like I said, like they attacking hasn't been an issue. It's just the defending has derailed the season considerably. So it is what it is. And hopefully, I've seen that Stajic still thinks that he's in a job next season. So he's still calling the shots with regards to the squad selection at this particular moment in time, but whether that whether he'll be there in 5 months' time when the season kicks off again,
we shall see.
Very interesting to see.
Would you keep Stajic, Damo? You're a big Stajic fan.
I'm a big Stajic fan, and if I was either Melbourne Victory or Western Sydney, I would absolutely be trying to get him on board. If I was looking for a replacement, so as I said, scoring goals under Stajic, no problem. Defending, bit of a problem.
Not a whole lot of great defenders in that team, to be fair. And Ollie Sale hasn't had a great season.
I think this kind of argument came up on X during the week. Is that Valiant, the A League is certainly a good league for attacking and. Not so great for defending, and hence why we probably haven't had a real good centre-back or, centre-back export overseas for a while.
And as soon as they get even, like, vaguely good, they go. Like, Triantis had one good season.
Exactly.
It was a great season,
but
he's gone.
That's right.
Rumour has it that Mark Natter will be leaving the Jets shortly, and he's
Popovich left. Adelaide United,
Yeah.
Subito, so he was It's just like, yeah, okay. As soon as one decent sign is made, then they seem to either be off or something else happens.
Obviously, big dog Jordy Boss, one season of obviously elite play, and he's gone.
Left back, I wouldn't really say he's great defensively too.
Yeah.
He's definitely more of an attacking left back. But
technically he is a defender, right?
Technically he's a defender,
Oh, he's so creative.
But he's
a defender, sure, on the sheet, but like he's definitely more creative fullback rather than, you know, one that sits back and provides defensive cover.
Yeah, one hundo thousand.
But like, as soon as I saw that comment on X, I'm like, well, I'd definitely prefer to see a lot more goals than not. So obviously broke the record once again for the fourth year straight of the most goals in a season. Which is great. Like, obviously, I'm not complaining that there's no goals because I love seeing goals. It's the only reason I watch. I want to see goals. I want to see players excelling. And you know what? Those people complaining that there's too many goals, what are you doing? Why are you even watching? So that conversation on X.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, get out of town.
Yeah, there was an extra game this season, though. You got to factor that in.
Makes a difference.
Yeah, it makes
absolutely makes a difference.
Yeah, it does. It's our first since we've had 12 teams. It's the first time we've had a 27 game season. The last time there was a 27 game season was 2018-19.
It was broken last week, so it was in the same. Yeah. This week broke the amount of goals scored in a singular round, actually. There you go.
It came, Well, lots of goals were scored. Yeah, this is very true. And I, like, you know, Brisbane Roar obviously had a bit of fun there against Adelaide, but honestly, at the end of the day, couldn't get it done. And interesting to see if, you know, because obviously with Trewin and Aldred both leaving, they'll need to sign some centre-backs to replace those fellas.
Aldred, rumoured to be going to Western Sydney.
Yes, this is very true. And Trewin allegedly on his way to Melbourne City. I guess to replace Curtis Good.
Curtis Good, why not, eh? It sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Right,
Yeah.
Yo, much, Brizzy boy.
Yeah, Brizzy
from
boy.
From the brown brown snake.
The brown snake, mate. Yeah. Bit of the smoke show up there, the valley. Johnny Ringo's. Birdies. Good spot. If you're in Brisbane, go to Birdies. They've got a really nice rooftop.
I'd like to transition this talk to some decent defending.
Yeah.
And
the Wellington Phoenix.
Wellington Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. And West Central Coast Mariners.
Yeah.
Once again, obviously playing themselves into a first Premier's plate.
Hey, they haven't done it yet.
They got to win tonight. The Mariners need to win tonight.
The Mariners just need a point.
They need a point.
Oh, right. Yeah, true. Okay. Yep.
So it all comes down to tonight. Massive game.
Jamie Young had a big game in the sticks, or so I heard.
In the what?
Between the sticks. He had a big game between the sticks, Jamie Young.
Oh, against Western United.
Yeah.
Well, the good players, they perform when they need to, and that was a must-win game for City, and he brought it out. So, props to him. He's a great player, always has been.
I can see a victory scoreline 2-1 in the upcoming derby.
Oh, in the final. We are going to break down the finals. In fact, real quick, hold that thought, Nick, because I do want to mention the Phoenix, because obviously like there is a chance they win their first premiership this season. They've already beat their club record for points scored and wins and that kind of thing. And obviously, you know, they've scored the goals. Barbaroos has had a great season. Alex Roof is like a rock in the middle. And their defence has been fantastic. But Alex Paulson, you've got to mention it.
Mm.
And just compare this to Ollie Sale last season. Obviously, Ollie Sale is a guy with lots of respect around the league for being very good for a very long time. But Alex Paulson, in his first season between the sticks there, actually faced more shots on target with 145 than Sale did last season with 141, which isn't a big, not a huge difference. But he's still, you know, he's there. He's facing shots. He's making these saves. Ollie saved 105 last season. Paulson 119 this season. That's 82% shots saved compared to shots faced, as opposed to Ollie with 74.5% last season. Paulson 10 clean sheets this year, as opposed to Sale with 5 last year. 26 goals conceded as opposed to 36 from Sale last year. So Alex Paulson, is he the best keeper in the league already? Is kind of what I'm
ever
getting.
Or you mean just this season?
No, right now.
Oh, right now. That's a gimme, mate. Like, of course he is. He's going to keep her in the best top two teams, and he's like saving all those shots, mate. Of course he's the best keeper. But who's it going to be? Ollie Sale, you know, conceding sevens and eights, you know?
Well, you know, Vukovic or Jamie Young, you know, these kind of guys. No,
Vukovic has his day, but he does have like a good team system in front of him. So does the Phoenix. But Paulson, Wellington, Phoenix are more counter-attacking. So he would Paulson would absorb more pressure compared to, say, like a Vukovic. So it's a tougher gig because he's under more scrutiny.
He's making it happen. Shout out. All right, before we kind of review the season somewhat, is there anything that you boys wanted to talk about from these games, or should we move forward?
Nah.
All right.
We're reviewing the finals after the season, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, so you just mentioned, like, you think Victory are going to beat City in this elimination final?
2-1.
All right. Easy. What makes you say that? Like, what's the key for Victory to get that win?
Good question. It's probably just mitigating like Arsenal and McLaren. McLaren goes missing, there's not really much avenue. And Arsenal, like getting Arsenal's head, not really much avenue for like firepower from City. Take Arsenal out of the game, there's not really much creativity, and then you eventually get through dullness of trying.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in agreement. I think, yeah, as soon as you mitigate Arsenal's impact, Melbourne City kind of pretty useless, to be honest.
I heard there's a rumour he could be going back to Udinese.
I did see that.
Yeah.
Which would be a massive loss, obviously, for Melbourne City, but probably a better gig for Arsenal, to be honest.
That would be a bigger loss than Jamie McLaren.
Absolutely. With obviously your main creator for McLaren, even though he's not going to be there next season, but he's a massive loss. And I think obviously with Max Caputo likely to step up into that striker's role next season.
They're going to sign someone else.
Oh, absolutely, they're going to sign someone else. But obviously that spark, the bit of creativity. Max Caputo would need if he was to be there next season. That's a big loss.
And a creator as well.
Yeah.
Oh. Tilio hasn't done a whole lot since rocking up.
Been injured.
Well, he goes back to Celtic, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, right. Well, Naboot hasn't done a whole lot since coming back.
He's been injured too. So
you've had Lecky's injury too. It's been a struggle for sure.
Yeah.
What if Melbourne City had been healthy all season? What could have been different? What about the other final, Sydney versus MacArthur? Two teams with differing form coming in off the last game there. MacArthur a 3-0 loss. Sydney, obviously, a 7-1 win. Are we going on form, or do we think the Bulls can get it done?
I reckon it's probably going to be very even. I think many of us have ridden off the Bulls for certain fixtures many times, only for them to come and, you know, to win and impress. For example, when we thought Victory were at the peak of the league, Bulls were the first team to get the win against Victory. Victory have since had 5 losses in total. But I think it's going to be very even because Sydney are probably like the more star-studded team, you know. But in their last 5, the form in the last 5 is only better by one draw. Otherwise, their form's pretty similar. MacArthur did have a gritty win against Sydney FC just a couple of weeks ago. So yep. I think there's I think it could go down. I think it could go to distance, to extra time, in my opinion.
Yeah, fuck oath, all the way. Who's going to be the key to crack open the game, Damo? Who's going to make the difference?
LA Rose.
Yes.
For either team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I don't know. It's difficult to say at the moment, but obviously Jed Drew's been in quite good form for MacArthur lately. But obviously you've got Davila coming back from injury, which will be big. He's just come back, so
say the name.
In form.
Say the name.
No, no way.
V, initials V and G. Say the name.
Come on.
Valère.
Careful there how I said that.
Yeah.
That was perfect.
But certainly, I think for Sydney as well, you've potentially got Kucharski. Who's been playing well recently, but just hasn't been able to get his name on the score sheet. So I think he's Drew as well. So
he's Jed Drew?
He's Jed Drew.
He's Jed Drew. The last time these two teams played was the fixture before that. MacArthur won 1-0 and Jed Drew scored.
Yeah.
Sorry, my bad.
Absolutely. So
despite two red cards for MacArthur.
Yes.
Which is
so they certainly know how to scrounge out a result against the Sky Blues. So that'll be an interesting game.
And if it goes the distance, there's a certain man for Sydney FC between the sticks, also known as the only goalkeeper or Socceroo full stop that the Australian mainstream media knows about that currently plays.
the Wiggle.
The Wiggle. The Grey Wiggle. Wiggle.
The
Andrew
big
Redmayne.
The Reddish,
been a bit
yeah.
suspect as of late, so...
He's not a very good goalkeeper. Sorry, that's harsh. That's harsh! I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean it like that. I'm sorry, Andrew.
You did.
I did. He's not great, but that's okay. It is what it is. Let's get into a bit of a season review. So, I'm just going to rattle off some burning questions for all of us here. So just real quick, we're going to do this more properly when Andy's here. We have a full wall, but for now, favorite moment of the season. And this is for everyone. Who wants to go first? Anyone's got this ready to go.
Favorite moment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got one.
Can't even think that much.
Cast your minds back. I can't remember exactly what month of the year it was, but it was... Wellington Phoenix when they started taking off, and then they had the pub crawl, and then
the pub crawl
game, and it was a tense game, and the counter, and you know, all Rudan was there and all that, blah blah blah. Yeah. The counter attacking style they played with, you know, to get the last two goals in after the 88th minute, it was exhilarating, and then you know, for that game was, I reckon, the best. Not the best game of the season, perhaps, but like the best finish to a game. It was all over. It was tense the whole way because Western Sydney Wanderers were looking like a top caliber team at that time. So it's kind of top of the table energy, clash energy. And for Wellington Phoenix, just to blister them away in the last 5 minutes of the game, it was quite satisfying. You know, it was really wholesome energy in the stadium. The Yellow Fever were pumping, you know. It was just great. I reckon that was my favourite moment.
I'll go next. That, I love that moment, by the way. That's absolutely classic. Probably in the lead for peak moment of the year, right?
Well, I've got to keep my cards close to the chest here, you know?
Yeah, all right. You're keeping it clean.
It was the last Wellington home game before Christmas. So it was like their Christmas. So it was real wholesome vibes.
Yeah.
I think Wellington Phoenix were still undefeated at that point. Don't quote me on that. Yeah, I think they were undefeated still at that point.
Yeah, you beauty. I'll take.
Oh no! They lost the Newcastle Jets the week before.
I'll take Western United. winning their first ever game at the Wyndham Regional Football Facility. Long time coming to get it up and running, but they did it. They beat MacArthur despite a goal from Valais-Zuman. And that's huge. It's good for them to have a home, and I'm glad it finally happened because we thought it wasn't going to happen for a long, long time. It's happened. It's there. Run it, boys. I love that.
Well, I'm going to go for that point in time where no one knew about, apart from some Wellington Phoenix fan on X, of this rule change between the tiebreaker between wins and goal difference deciding your position on the ladder.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I'm going with tonight where Central Coast draw the game against Adelaide and win the league
on one win.
And the Wellington Phoenix coming second.
Right.
And it all coming down to this Wellington Phoenix fan on Twitter, or X, raising this point on the rule change. So that is my favourite moment of the season.
I mean, to be fair, if Central Coast get the draw, they'll win. They'll be ahead on both wins and goal difference. So,
yeah, they do have goal difference as well. But it'll officially go down as due to the wins. You know, that's the official ruling. The dub skis, lads. The dub skis. Yes.
So, incredibly funny areas for the season.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. That's probably my favourite. Just the league not communicating that they've just changed the fundamental rules of football.
Yeah. It's fucking iconic, isn't it? What about least favourite moment of the season? Burning question number two. Either of you boys got this? Because I've got mine ready to go.
Yeah, I've got
least favourite.
The Erin Quinter discourse when he was dropping out of form earlier in the year, followed up by the Erin Quinter discourse with the Ollie Roos selection. But I might, I'm chopping into your territory there, so I might let you talk about that one. But going back to earlier in the year, I think it was a bit premature how, you know, the knives were coming out. He just signed for Bayern Munich, and there was a bit of too much of an expectation that, you know, they were circling him, they were circling him like an established player. Why isn't he doing this? Why isn't he doing that?
Mm.
So that would be my least favourite moment.
Yeah, totally fair.
Fair enough. I honestly could not even remember what my least favourite part of the season is. I think was the massive brawl at the City Derby. Obviously the clash with police.
Oh yes.
With the TIFO. I still think we've got obviously a long way to go. Apparently the relationship has been fixed to some degree, with there being now a bit more of a understanding between police and the RBB, so the longer that goes on, I think the better the game day experience will be. So my favourite.
Yeah, no, totally fair. That was a dark moment, and it was a shame that it came to pass. Mine's not quite as serious, but I am going with Ruben Zatkovic, his official appointment as the Brisbane head coach for the next two seasons. Not one! 2 years of Zad Bull in Brisbane. Although the way we're going, we'll probably have three more head coaches next season anyway. So time will tell on that, Zad. Prove yourself, bud. Not a fan at all.
Absolutely.
But we're running through these. Yeah. We're running through these pretty well so far. Biggest surprise of the season. What really got you like, ooh, hello, what's going on there?
Central Coast Mariners.
Yeah, you weren't expecting generic Mark Jackson to take care of business.
Let's rewind back to the first four episodes of the Four Man Wall season two. Clearly, there was a lot of improvement to be had at Central Coast Mariners, and by gosh, have they turned around the season? And obviously, Mark Generic Jackson, take off my hat, and I fully apologise for the absolute disrespect that you received from myself. And if you manage to get the win tonight or the draw, it's honestly probably a bigger achievement than last season, I would say.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah, because they had a big call, final mate. Last year.
That's a massive call, brother. Fuck me.
I'll say...
There's my biggest surprise.
I'll go a different direction. I know there's a lot of teams. I reckon most of the teams in the top six are quite surprising. I reckon, you know, you got Wellington, Central Coast, like, had a bit of a dip, then came back up. MacArthur and Sydney. MacArthur, I had a line through them until they just, you know, stayed consistent. Sydney looked shit, then sacked Carrick, good. Melbourne City, shit all year until they snuck into the finals. Except when they had to play, you know, a shit team and batted them 8-0. My biggest surprise, I reckon, would be Jamie McLaren getting dropped, I'd say. Because I think the surprise there was that, you know, it was the right decision, but the surprise was that, like, they followed through. And, like, at first it was like, is he being dropped because there's a game on Tuesday? And then he didn't start on, like, you know, it was a Saturday-Tuesday situation. Then he didn't start on Tuesday. And so I think the surprise came through. They followed through and they made a decision based on form, the correct decision. And then he got back into it.
Yeah, scored a couple of goals and obviously won them the game this weekend to get them into the finals in classic J-Mac tap-in form.
Might be many motivating factors, but might have been a motivating factor why he's leaving at the end of the season, just because, you know, he's not guaranteed a spot. He's not guaranteed a spot. You know, he's prone to having a lapse in form just like any other player. And his career is not getting any younger, so he's got to make that cash.
Got to make that money. You reckon MLS for J-Mac?
Oh, I think the rumor is India.
Yeah, oh, really? I think it's absolutely India.
It's India, and I think Hercules could might be on the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You know what? I'm actually really happy that the Indian Super League exists. It has been the number one exporter of all the dead wood in the A-League.
Did you just call Jamie McLaren Deadwood?
Absolutely.
I can get Andy throwing hits right now in his hotel room.
Fucking hell, mate. Andy's up in arms. Like, what? Who is Andy going to get photos with now? This is a huge question.
Mate, I tell you, in Perth, I had photos with a bunch of AFL players, mate. Andy's got nothing on me at the moment. I also got a photo with an artificial blonde, Rory Lobb.
Shout out to Rory Lobb, the classic journeyman of the AFL. I miss Western Sydney Rory Lobb. That was the best Rory Lobb, in my opinion.
100%. Indian Super League is probably like the only competition where, like, you can get a really good, like, after the A-League, where you can get a really good paycheck. Because it's the standard of the league's lower than the A-League. It doesn't really attract the international talent compared to, you know, the Middle Eastern leagues, which compete for European players. I wonder how Aziz Paige is going at Al Nassr.
I mean, apparently he's Cristiano Ronaldo's best friend.
Oh, right, yeah, okay.
That's
doesn't get much better.
He'd be coming back. He's played three
games in the AFC Champions League, I'll tell you that for free.
And you know what? In terms of Australian careers, like football careers, I would say that Aziz Bajic is like in the top head. That guy has just managed to somehow just eke out this career that's just seen him go from, obviously, from the A-League to...
Don't forget the NPL, World Cup, mate.
Champions League, NPL, and then just ending up kicking a ball around about with one of the best players to ever play the game. It is honestly incredible.
Nah, mate, what about Trent Sainsbury and his loan spell at Inter?
It's up there. It's up there.
Iconic, mate. Iconic. I love it. All right, I got one more question because we got to move it along. We have got 50 minutes already. We are just chatting today, boys. We're chatting up a storm. If you like our chat, follow the Instagram at onlinehowmedia and at fourman.wall. It's good stuff. Shout out to Nick's partner for running the fourman.wall Instagram. It's good. Biggest disappointment of the season?
The Fourman Wall podcast.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Nah, ouch.
That's brutal. We had our best episode this year. A Slab of Carlton Draft is officially our most listened to episode.
Oh, last week's episode.
Because you weren't on it, you fuck.
Me? Wait. I thought last week was Rudes and Rubes.
No, it was. I'm just saying, was that the biggest disappointment of the season because you weren't on the episode?
Wait, Slab of Carlton Draft. Wasn't I on that episode?
Yeah, probably.
That was from 18th of Jan.
Yeah, that's our most listened to episode officially.
I think that's because we got in on the A-League memes crowd. I might not have been on the episode last week, but there's a reason for that. Let me explain. One drink turned into two, and then two drinks turned into three, and then I realised I'm in Geelong, and it takes 90 minutes to get home. So, and then it was 45 minutes to go to the recording session. So, happens to the best of us, but it was a good marketing push on my end.
These things happen, bro.
Anywho, most disappointing part of the A-League men's season. I'll pass. I'll come back to me.
Yep, totally fair. Okay, reasonable. I'll say Melbourne Victory not going undefeated all season. They were looking solid at the back for a long, long time. Yeah. They were looking really good. And Damon was getting excited. He was like, this is the year it happens. Couldn't make it happen. Nah. The Invincible.
I've got something now.
They're looking pretty invincible right about now, I reckon. I actually forgot to do my biggest surprise of the year was when I saw the photo of Nick and Andy with... was it Nick and Andy? With the A-League memes team. That was amazing. I love that.
That was a big moment.
That was a huge moment in history. Looking really good on the cameras there as well. Can I say, Nick, you blowed up.
The Sydney sun just makes me look gorgeous.
It's beautiful, mate. Beautiful. Run it, Damo. Biggest disappointment.
Biggest disappointment.
Just Andy in general.
Andy not here.
There's so many.
I've got one.
I'm going to go with...
Don't you dare take mine, because I've only got one.
No.
Uh-huh. You don't know what I have. How can you say no?
J-Mac.
Just J-Mac's performance?
Just J-Mac. All-around J-Mac. I think, Jesus Christ. Obviously, my funniest moment is when he posted on his story or on Instagram that he wasn't finished. And he was most definitely finished at that stage, so... for me this season, with the squad that Melbourne City put together, I would have thought that J-Mac would have been back to his usual ways, scoring 20 plus goals a season, but obviously it didn't work out this season. So
did he win the Golden Boot last year?
Yeah, he did. For mine, J-Mac, biggest disappointment.
Surprised you didn't go with the Ollie Roos, but fair enough, it's a strong choice.
Oh, well, yeah, if it's got to do with Australian football as a whole, yes.
What was your most disappointing, Deshaun? I've already forgotten.
My most disappointing, Melbourne Victory not going undefeated.
Well, I've got one that's undisputed, I reckon. Dodgy ownership, specifically Newcastle Jets and Perth Glory up until they got bought out. I reckon that's objectively the most disappointing thing from this season. No club should be unless there is promotion and relegation all the way through.
Yeah.
No club should feel should have their existence threatened to the level that the Newcastle Jets have in the last few months. To the fact where fans are going watching their team, not too sure if it'll be the last time. There's just no certainty whatsoever. We talk about Perth Glory players. You know, that would be that have no certainty. I just don't understand like how you could be playing for Newcastle Jets and have and you know play with safety and security when you don't know where your club will be next year.
Yeah,
I think yeah, objectively the biggest disappointment, and hopefully it sounds like the rumor and just all the they've got a buyer, they're bit back out, etc. etc. I think the latest rumor is they finally got someone. But
that isn't, yeah, but that rumor's been going around for like 3 months.
That's
now.
Exactly
like, the I'll point believe up. It when I see it.
Yeah.
Silly. No, that's a good shout, Nick. I like that. We hopefully that gets sorted soon, but I'll believe it when I see it. Let's get into the news then. And we've brought it up a few times today, but Jamie McLaren, oh my God. Andy, I'm sorry if you're listening. I am truly, truly sorry, but after 5.5 seasons, 163 games, 115 goals, 4 golden boots, and 6 trophies with Melbourne City, J-Mac is going to pursue an opportunity outside of the A-Leagues. Curtis Good as well doing the same thing. So their two longest tenured players are off. A special membership category will be created in honour of J-Mac starting next year. No such thing for Curtis Good, unfortunately. So that's a bit rude, but that's okay. How much of an impact does this make on Melbourne City's future, fellas, these two players going?
I think it's something they can manage, mainly with Maxi Caputo coming through the ranks. I wouldn't say Maxi Caputo's like, you know, top shelf, but I think...
you watch your tongue, mate. Damo's right here, okay? He's going to get riled up soon. Look at his face. I think, he's not having this.
I think it's an opportunity. Is Aurelio confirmed for next year? I don't think he is, right?
No, I think
it's an opportunity for Aurelio, the next coach, to kind of rework the tactics to make Melbourne City a bit more creative.
No more Vidmars. No more Vidmars in coaching positions.
Vidmars, overrated.
No more Vidmars. Yeah, but no, fresh tactics, I think I agree with you, Nick. That's probably needed, I'd say. And yeah, I guess Kai Truan will replace Curtis Good, but and do you think that Maxi Caputo can replace Jamie McLaren? It's a big, big shoes to fill.
he's certainly got the talent.
Mm.
Whether he has the backing of the manager is another thing.
Whatever it may be, yeah.
We saw with Thomas Waddingham, I think, that if you persist enough with a player who certainly does have the talent and the capability of leading the line, that it can pay dividends.
Mm.
So I would like to see Maxi Caputo start up front, but I'm not going to hold my breath.
Yeah.
As I know that the striker position is certainly one that most always goes to an import or someone over the age of 27. So, it'll be interesting to see.
I can see Melbourne City signing a new striker.
Yeah, absolutely. Too, so can I. But just it's the hope that gets you, right? It's the hope that, you know, Australian football might actually do something for its own benefit.
Maybe Fabio Gomez brings it down.
I reckon Marcus Antonsen's chomping at the bit. He's earned it. He's earned
I heard Bruno Fornaroli's in some good form.
He is in some good form, yeah. Fucking oath he is. Oh, Jesus. A few other headlines. I'll do the quick ones before we get to the aeroplane story, which Nick is keen to talk about. But Maxi Ballard got the Mariners medal for Player of the Season.
Oh, what about Josh Nisbet? Everyone told me he was good.
He is good. What about Joshy Nisbet? What about Jacob Farrell? Yeah. But no, Maxi Ballard's had a good season too.
Yeah.
So we like that. And Noah Scocco made his debut for Hajduk Split this weekend, which is exciting.
Yep.
Aussies abroad. You know, Harry Suter's Aussies back in the abroad. Prem officially. Yeah.
Cameron Burgess, Mass Luongo, only 1 point away from Premier League football next season.
Yeah. As brutal well for as, my guy. Go.
Yeah. as well as Sampaoli and Connor McCarth and Jackson Irvine. A couple games away, or I think one win away from securing promotion to the Bundesliga. As well as Ciucati and Parma being, I think, one win away from being promoted to Serie A. So, really good season for a lot of overseas Aussies in terms of getting promotions and being at the top end of the table in their respective leagues.
Well, I wouldn't say Harry Suter helped out too much. I think he's had like 3 or 4 reviews. Oh, absolutely not.
No, but we won't consider him as one of those players.
Yeah. Deshaun, I was just reading up. A post just came up. You were saying that it was a bit unfair that Jamie McLaren has something named after him and Curtis Good hasn't. Well, J-Mac's got the membership. I'm not too sure exactly what that details. But, Curtis, yeah. Melbourne City will rename their Clubman of the Year award after outgoing icon Curtis Good.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad.
The Good Award.
New club, you got to build this. The Good Award.
Oh, that is good.
That is good. That's pretty good. That is really good. Jesus Christ, mate. Fine. That's good. That's.
You see the post that Melbourne City did? They got the same artist that did the Jamie McLaren post. And they had the brick wall there. And it had his chant, it's good. He's good. And then he was really. And then they had a. They included the F.
Yeah,
they just had a soccer ball blocking out the rest.
It's a shame he's not that good, but that's all right. He's okay. He's played a lot of games. You boys know how I feel about Curtis Good. It's a long-running bit at this point in time, but Curtis he will average. Definitely... Curtis Average! Ah! Alas. And one big news story as well I think we should touch on is live VAR is coming in for the final series. It does make sense. It's awesome. So for those who don't understand what this means, this will allow fans to hear the centre referee declare their decisions and, importantly, the rationale behind VAR decisions. So we'll kind of have a bit more of an understanding of what's going on when those decisions get made. And this is the A-Leagues are the first league within the Asian Football Confederation to implement this. So thumbs up all around, fellas, I'm assuming?
Yeah, thumbs up all around.
Yeah.
All right. Beautiful. What isn't thumbs up is the airline Bonza, which is Melbourne's primary sponsor. They've suspended all flights and looks like they're going under. They're not going to be airborne for too much longer.
It'll be Bonza for much longer.
No, not Bonza for too much longer. Damo's on fire today. He cannot be stopped. Oh, somebody stop this man. He's got the sauce. He's got the passata running through his veins, boys. Nick, at the start of the podcast, you said specifically you wanted to talk about this, so talk about it.
Yeah, explain. Well, Bonza's fucking shit, all right? So let me tell you, how are you meant to get an airline to succeed when all you can do, you can't search them on Google, you can't search them on Skyscanner, you can't book on their website, you can only book on an app. Who goes and, like, I'm going to spend a few $100 a day and I'm going to do it on my phone? No one does that. You're doing an important purchase. You have the computer up. You have the full screen in front of you. You got a few tabs up comparing stuff, you know. It's important business booking your trip to the Sunshine Coast, I tell you. And, and they had issues. It was just an Australian, I won't go into detail, but the Australian aviation market is a tough one to crack into because, you know, it's a duopoly of competition. Melbourne Victory shirt. The shirt sponsor going under is nothing new. I think Melbourne Stars were sponsored by Dick Smith and they went under. Dick Smith Electronics, yes. that's a throwback and a half.
Fuck yeah, Dick Smith. Shout out, man.
Put a blue sticker up, blue bit of duct tape over the sponsor and you won't even know. But what is a bit concerning though, Bonza is owned by 777 Partners, who also own Melbourne Victory, or a substantial share in Melbourne Victory. It is a bit concerning, but I'm not really that much of an expert in, I think, is it called shared equity, that kind of operation?
I'm not a business guy. Yeah. I'm not a business guy. I can't really speak on this too much.
I'm not sure it really matters.
They're a capital market company.
Okay.
They just, yeah, and they're considering Everton Football Club, apparently.
Yeah. Everton?
Yeah, but they're same company.
Same company, 777 Partners. So, yeah, I'm not a bit concerned. Sounds like the Victory don't have the best owners to their name at the moment.
Did they ever?
Oh, I don't know who the owners were. George Columbaris.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mate. Yeah, something like that. The whole story about him not paying his staff isn't actually true, according to a Hospo insider that I know who owns used to own an Italian restaurant in the city. It's a little bit of smoke and mirrors. It wasn't George himself. It was kind of more of a business partner that was fucking him over, and he took the blame, unfortunately. So clear George's name. He's not as villainous as everyone seems to insist. But yeah, keen to see who the new sponsor will be. Maybe
Turkish Airlines back. Just signed a deal to, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah?
That was bullshit.
Was it?
I was going to suggest that maybe they should look into, you know, local farming. Maybe Gibson Irrigation.
This is landing on no one, mate.
Yeah.
Ah, fuck you both. All right, fair enough. Let's get into Split the Wall.
Hold on.
Melbourne
Victory lands Turkish Airlines as its new principal partner.
Oh, it's confirmed? All right, I
knew that.
Damo knows his stuff.
Hold on. That's why. Are they going on the shirt, though?
They should. Because it would look sick.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Turkish Airlines, mate. Good introduction to the Australian aviation landscape. Allowing more competition in the market, because that's what it is. So it's sad to see Bonza go, but, you know, they didn't really give themselves a fighting chance.
Mm. A flying chance.
I know I would much rather go to Istanbul than I would go to Hong Kong or Dubai.
Mm. What about Mackay?
I know, Hong Kong's pretty cool.
Yeah.
They make some good beers. The Guai Lo Brewery, they make some fantastic beers. The Rainbow Sherbet Sour is on tap right now at Near and Far, and it is tasty. So come on down. It's
sorry, mate, I'm a bit broke at the moment.
Yeah, it's been too much.
They got better breweries in WA anyways.
All right. I don't know about that.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know about that.
Little Creatures, mate. Little Creatures.
Yeah, Little Creatures have one good beer. That's way too popular for what it actually is. It's just a pale ale. Like, we get it. Like, you put some fruit in your pale ale. Okay, regardless. Split the Wall. Okay, it's the segment with the sting that's way too loud, according to Nicholas Brazier. Totally fair. I'll turn it down. But basically, my two lovely co-hosts today debate a topic, a question that I will posit, and they get 60 seconds each to debate said question, and the winner gets a little vote on our running tally. So, Nick, you need a win to stay in it. We've got Andy at 4 wins, Damo's at 4 wins, you are at 2 wins. So pressure's on. You need this. You need to make it happen to hang in there. And the question, in lieu of Jamie McLaren leaving the league, who is the greatest striker in A-League's history? It's a big one. It's an important one. And I've got to tell you, Nick, you're going to go first today, lad.
Whoa.
Jeez. You can pick whoever you like. I would very much like it if you picked Matt Simon, but it's up to you.
Would I get a head start if I pick Matt Simon?
I'm not telling you that. I just like Matt Simon. You got to pick what's true to you. You can't pick based on what you think I'll like. You know, I'm unbiased. It's all about the arguments, Nicholas.
You know Mark Yanko won a golden boot?
What a king, mate. What an absolute superstar. Big Mark Yanko and the Yankezzles.
All right.
You ready?
Gotta do it.
You feeling confident? All right, let's do it. Nick, you got 60 seconds. 3, 2, 1, namaste.
It pains me to say this, but the best striker in A-League history is Bessart Berisha.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, alright, okay.
He could do it. He scored goals when it mattered in grand finals. He scored goals in big finals. He died for penalties in finals. He could do it all. He was aggressive. He kicked goals. He tapped them in. He got them from range. He was hardworking, fast runner. He picked the teams up from the canvas. And, you know, he was a part of Barcelona. And he could fight people outside. That's all I have. I don't like the guy that much. But
you got 15 more seconds.
But we can't dispute the fact that he's the greatest. Jamie McLaren, tap-ins only. Matt Simon, great club man and all. But who else is there? Archie Thompson was playing in the shadow of Bessart Berisha. Once Bessart Berisha hit the scene, Archie Thompson was in dust.
Time. All right, not bad. Bessart Berisha, the all-round package. I do agree with you on that. So curious to see if Damo Sarah can compete with Nick's somewhat flawed but pretty good argument.
Yeah.
You ready, Damo?
I am somewhat ready.
Fantastic. 3, 2, 1, go.
Well, this one actually comes a bit from left field.
Okay,
so Adelaide United, after the retirement of Bruce Duté, needed a quality striker. And they got exactly that in Sergio Guardiola. a player who did not set the world alight in the A-League, but certainly is probably one of the best strikers to ever play in the A-League. Because as soon as he left the A-League, he went on to score many goals and get himself a $3 million move to, I think it was Cadiz in the La Liga. So I think with that in mind, he's certainly the best striker to ever play in the A-League. Certainly the best striker export we've had.
Done. Time. Okay.
Oh, if we're going with that logic, then David Villa, you know, is like a fair bet.
Yeah, well, if you want to go with just like the best player who's played in
Romario?
The A-League.
Well, what about Romario? He played four games for Adelaide United, you know? We're talking about impact in the A-League.
Bloke flopped so hard.
So,
David Villa, Alessandro Del Piero. Sergio Guardiola. Who, by the way, played one season and scored 3 goals.
Yeah.
That's Pep Guardiola.
Then he left the league.
Get me Guardiola from Wish.
He absolutely lit up for Getafe.
Come on, Deshaun. Put him out of his misery.
But a $3 million euro move to Real Valladolid, obviously massive side in Spain.
Put him out of his
misery. So I think that absolutely counts.
So the question was, who was the best striker in A-League history? And like no one's gone for Jamie McLaren at all, despite the fact that he leads the league in goals scored.
I'm left it wide open for you to take Jamie McLaren.
Now,
yeah, but that's J-Mac. He's done it in the A-League. So what?
That's the point.
The best striker in A-League history is no longer in the A-League. He's playing in La Liga.
It's obviously Nick.
It is.
Nick is the winner.
Completely fair logic to me.
No. Your first argument was that, okay, he wasn't that good. That was the first thing you said.
And he hasn't even scored a goal for Cadiz yet.
Doesn't matter. He's playing in La Liga.
Wikipedia doesn't even have him as a striker. He's a forward. He probably plays on the wing.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He's had one assist this season, so I'll...
That's your fuck yeah, Damo.
Barisha's getting an assist in La Liga.
Regardless, Nick is the champion.
He doesn't even have a photo on his Wikipedia
round.
Page.
Oh, I can't with you boys. Fair enough. Okay, look, regardless, Nick, that's a win for you. So you're at 3, Damo and Andy are at 4. It's getting tight at the top here for Split the Wall. Who will come out as eventual champion? Keep listening if you want to stay in touch. www.onlinehubmedia.com. Stay in tune. We love you all, especially you, Henry.
At fourman.wall on Instagram.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's good stuff. Like all the posts, engage with the content. It's good content. But we're going to wrap things up here. It's been a fantastic podcast. I hope you guys you've had fun. Wonderful. Yes? Yes? Okay. We've got some fun games to look forward to this weekend. The Liberty comes to a head. Melbourne City will indeed play Sydney in the grand final on Saturday.
I'm hoping to go to that.
Yeah, you should. 4 o'clock, 4:15. Should be a good one. Very, very exciting. And obviously the final start this weekend for the A-League Men's as well, do they not?
Yeah. What kind of podcast are you running?
Yeah, they do. So, fuck you, all right, mate. Bloody hell. Sydney and MacArthur on that same Saturday at 7:45, and Melbourne play Melbourne on Sunday at 5 o'clock. Get excited! This has been the Four Men Wall. Thank you all.
No pyro, no party, you know. it's only Carlton's home ground, so break down a stand or two, you know, wouldn't be much loss to the community.